This recording, Arkansas 29, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onuroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Comma Gets a Cure. Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory. So she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there, there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Comma, Comma," which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Comma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her. But Sarah had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold on to Comma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. I can't imagine paying so much. But Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. In the 60s, my grandmother and I were spending the afternoon together, and she said, "I really need to tell someone something. And while I've already told your grandfather, that was not satisfactory to me. I really need to tell someone about something that happened." She said, "I was out on the front porch, and a large object, which I could hear, lowered itself into the field near our home and hovered there," she said. She went on to say she thought she was having a spell of some kind, which she never did because she was a very rational, down-to-earth human being. And she was concerned about her sanity, I believe. But she described this large object and its color and its lights and its sound and its hovering there. Unfortunately, that was in the 60s, and I've forgotten all the details of those things. But what I most remember was that she said, "Your grandfather, of course, did not believe me and interrogated me about that incident. Every time he did, I told the story a little bit differently because That's how memory works. When you take the story out the second or third or fourth or fifth time, you tweak it a little. And now I'm starting to doubt myself, although I know I saw something and it was real. As I said, my grandmother was a really no-nonsense kind of a woman, and I've never doubted her story, but I wish I could remember it better, and I guess I really wish she were here to tell it to me again the way she saw it, the way she remembered it.